Travis, did I pay you enough to say that? Is that right? Yes, okay, yeah. Brian, it would seem to me that things can't be dull around your house. Thank you, Fran, for your special music tonight. And I enjoy the monthly publication of the paper here locally and read your poems and your expression. God bless you for that. Then someone came up to me tonight and said, your wife promised that you'd have a good joke. And I said to my wife, did you tell him that? And she said, well, don't you have a joke? I said, no, I don't have a joke. But I have one that I always remember, and I told it to you before. But my wife will laugh anyway because she's always promised to laugh at my jokes. And before we left the house tonight, she said, where should I say amen when you're preaching? And I said, we won't discuss that, but... we have a very special son, Jimmy, you know, who was in our home for 35 years, and he is now for the last 27 years in a special Christian program out in Ohio. But when he was still in our home, he would tease my wife, because sometimes my wife would sing, and there would be a hallelujah in it, and so Jimmy would tease my wife and say, hallelujah! Mommy, and so we'd all get a laugh out of that. And Jimmy was a very special young man, not so young anymore, 62 years old. But it did happen, evidently, that the man called 911. He was frantic, and the lady on the other end of the line said, how may I help you? Well, you have to help me. You have to help me now, right away. My wife has fallen down on the kitchen floor, and I can't get her up. Please come quickly, come quickly. And the lady on the other end of the line said, well, all right, sir. Yes, come quickly. My wife's on the floor. I can't get her up. Please come quickly. Yes, sir, please tell me where you live. And he said, where I live? I live at 33 Eucalyptus Lane. She said, 33 Eucalyptus Lane? Yes, yes, please, come quick. Could you spell that, please? He said, if I drag her over to Oak Street, could you pick her up there, please? So every time at home when things get to be a bit dull, I said, be careful or I'll drag you over to Oak Street, you know. But would you turn with me, please, in your Bible to Matthew chapter 11? Matthew chapter 11, beginning to read in verse 28. Title of my message tonight, Come for Rest of Soul. In Matthew 11, 28, we have a beautiful, just wonderful invitation. Matthew 11 and verse 28 is where we are. Come unto me, and remember the word come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Shall we bow in a moment of prayer? Our loving Father, we lift our hearts in thanksgiving and praise for the gift of your Son. We praise you this day that we serve a living Savior, one who has promised to return, and we believe that his promise is true. We pause again this evening to pray for Elaine Giordano and ask that you will intercede in a very special way in her life right now. We love her and thank you for Pat and Elaine and the ministry they continue every Wednesday night with our young people. We ask your blessing in a special way that you'll quiet Pat's heart, help him not to be anxious. And we ask in a special way because you are the great physician that you will do something very special in Elaine's life whereby the Lord Jesus shall be glorified. For we pray in the Savior's name, amen. I was interested last night again in the word come. And I thought, well, I'll look the word up in, a concordance and see how many times the word come is found in the Bible. I knew it had to be many times. And I couldn't count all the times. There was page after page in Strong's concordance. The print was very fine. And so I added up two or three columns and multiplied the columns by the number of, or multiply the number by the number of columns, and I came up with a figure of somewhere over 1,500 times in the Bible we find the word come, and we're going to hear it again tonight. Most often when the word come is used, it's a word of comfort or assurance. Sometimes when we respond, it means a change of direction. 43 years ago, my wife and I had the privilege of visiting in Colombia, South America. Kathleen's brother and his family were missionaries in Valledupar, and we were privileged to be with them almost a month. And we came to be somewhat aware of the behavior of the Colombian people. The mothers, for example, would have their little children about them. If they wanted a child to come, they would simply go like this. Here in America, we say, come on, come. But they're just a little gesture with the hand or with the lips, just like that, and the child would come. And the reason for that, of course, when you give an invitation to a child to come, it is good that there'd be something nice on the other end of the line. You don't just go this for your child and then your child comes and has a spanking because the next time the child won't come. So if you call a child, make the coming a pleasant experience. Some of you have owned animals like dogs and you wanted to teach the dog to come when you called the dog. And if you called the dog because the dog had done something wrong in some place where he shouldn't have done it or whatever, and when the dog came, you spanked the dog, the next time you call the dog won't come. But if you call the dog and offer the dog something very pleasant as a reward for coming, then the dog comes to understand after a while that when you call the dog, there'll be something pleasant on the other end of the line. You know, when the Lord invites us to come, it's for something good. It's for something good. And tonight we're going to emphasize that word come because it's very important. And if you remember and go back in the hymns that we sang tonight, the word come was found in each one of the hymns. And I'd like to read the lesson that we just read out of the King James Version. I'd like to read it out of the Expanded Translation. How many have ever heard of the Expanded Translation? Four people have heard. Travis, you don't have an Expanded Translation. Oh, my. Well, you listen carefully now. I'm going to read those three verses out of Expanded Translation, and you'll come to understand. Now, John Bodie is listening very carefully because he has about 40 different Bibles that he lines up. You understand? You remember when he had them all on display one time? Had you heard of the expanded translation, John? Pardon? I didn't look today. I should have. It might have been Kenneth Wiest in the expanded translation. I think you're right. Can't get one over on John. All right. But as I read these three verses out of the expanded translation, you'll come to understand right away why it's called an expanded translation. Jesus is speaking. Come here to me, all who are growing weary to the point of exhaustion and who have been loaded with burdens and are bending beneath their weight, and I alone will cause you to cease from your labor and take away your burdens and thus refresh you with rest. Take at once my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find cessation from labor and refreshment for your souls. For my yoke is mild and pleasant, and my load is light in weight. Do you understand why we memorized those verses out of the King James Version, not the expanded translation? Well, that's a beautiful translation, isn't it? The expanded translation. What beautiful words. They are God's word. They are God's word. They are God's word. One day my wife turned to me and said, I can't understand, she said, I can't understand how a person can profess to be a Christian and yet have little desire for the Word of God. I repeat. She said, I can't understand how a person can profess to be a Christian and yet have little desire for the Word of God. I thought, yeah. And so my response was, yeah, it's like a guy getting a love letter from his girl and setting it aside unopened. You'd say he can't love her very much. And in our relationship to the Lord, if we say that we love our Lord and we love him for what he is, for who he is, for what he's done, for his promises, and yet we neglect his word. Kind of inconsistent, isn't it? Hearing God's word, the words of Christ again out of the King James Version. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Every Saturday morning, about 11 o'clock, I go over to the Pines to call on a gentleman there. His name is Larry Fabianovich. I may have mentioned his name before. I came to know him when I did an interim at Shady Rest Bible Church. I met his wife. She said, my husband is at the Pines. He's had a stroke. And that stroke was about 9 or 10 years ago. So he cannot get out of bed by himself. He's in a wheelchair when he is up. One side is paralyzed, but he still can communicate, still can talk, and he loves the Lord. And for the last 5 years or better, every Saturday morning, almost without exception, I look forward to visiting with Larry Fabianovich. Of course, when you go in, you have to sign your name. Who's calling? I write down Pastor Goodhart. Who are you calling? Larry Fabianovich, Fabionavicz. And you write it all out, and I've been doing that for the last 5 years on every Saturday morning. But yesterday morning, I spoke to Larry, and I said, Larry, I'm preaching tomorrow night at Whiting Bible Church. I'd appreciate your prayer. He's a godly man. He loves the Lord. He's from Brazil originally, but he came to know the Lord early in life. He loves the Lord dearly. He's concerned about his roommate right now, a new roommate who doesn't know the Lord. And he said, I want you to pray for him. I said, what is his name? He said, his name is John. I said, well, I ought to remember that one. And so we're praying for John that he might come to know the Lord. And Larry is concerned about him. And I said, Larry, I'm preaching tomorrow night at Whiting Bible Church. And I'm preaching on Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And I quoted the scripture to him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I will give you rest. I said, you know it, don't you? He said, yes. I said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, he said, rest unto your souls. I said, you know that, don't you? He said, I do. And then the Lord said, for my yoke is easy, he said, and my burden is light. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious to call on a man like that? So limited physically because of a stroke, but he loves the Lord and he knows the Word of God and he reads it every day. If you say you love the Lord, then take time to read his Word. And if you neglected that, then ask God's forgiveness and start doing it right away. My wife doesn't like me to talk about her disciplines as far as the scriptures are concerned, but I will say it again because I'm so proud of my wife. Every morning, almost without an exception, my wife sits in her recliner with her Bible in her lap, a small ruler, and a pencil or pen, underlining one Bible after another she has worked through the years. And I noticed one of the older Bibles the other day, and she had requested at the front, when I am gone, please give this Bible to one of my grandchildren. Do you love the Word of God? Come. Now, mark with me the parts of this invitation. First of all, come. That's the first condition. Come. It's a conscious decision. I will come. I will come. At the conclusion of our message this morning, we will sing a hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. So the word come calls for a conscious decision. Specifically, the Lord is saying, come, not just come, but come to me. We must come to him, no other, not to a philosophy of life, not to a particular church, not to a specific dogma or theology, not even to Christianity per se, not to a certain regimen or discipline, but he says, come unto me. He said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And of course, when we come by faith. He said, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. Faith is the key. Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must first of all believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek him. So the first part is come, and we come to him. We come by faith. The second part, come for rest of soul. Come for rest of soul. Jesus said, take my yoke. It speaks of submission. We must submit to him, and that's the hardest things for our wills. We want our own way. Man has always wanted his own way. God said, this is the way. Man said, I'll do it my way. It's interesting, as you study the account of the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, do a study of that word. I have come to the conclusion, as some authors have, that the word Babel technically means Babel, a man-made way to God. Man was saying, we're not taking the way that God says. We'll make our own way. And so They built a tower, they thought, to reach to heaven. A silly idea. But men have silly conclusions today about the way to God. And the Lord says there's only one way. Jesus Christ is the way. They say we're going to do it our way. So the first part is come. The second part is come for rest of soul. Take my yoke. It speaks of submission. We must submit to him. And that's the hardest things for our wills. We want to do it our way. And quickly, the third part, learn of me, Jesus said. And that speaks of obedience. The Prince of Preachers, G. Campbell Morgan, has this comment, and it's a rather lengthy one, if you'll bear with me. How shall we perfect our rest? He says, by obeying him. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, he didn't mean only the yoke he would give us, the burden he would impose upon us. He did mean that ultimately, but primarily he meant the yoke that he wore is easy. The burden that he bore is light. What burden did he carry? There was only one, the burden of doing God's will, the burden of obedience to the divine command. I do always the things that are pleasing to him, Jesus said. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, he said, and to accomplish his work. We must work the works of him that sent me. That was the master passion in the life of the Lord Jesus. He said his burden was light. We hardly believe it. We say it is hard work to please God. In that view, we are wrong. It is fearfully hard work to please our neighbors. It is impossible to please our friends. It is absurd to try and please ourselves. Then let the prayer of each one of us be, teach me to do thy will, O my God. That is the easiest, the sublimest, the simplest law of life, and therein is rest. May we all find it, by G. Campbell Morgan. So Jesus invites us. He invites us, come for rest of soul, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now some are laden with sin, with guilt, maybe depravity. Others groan under the distresses of life, poverty, sickness, temptation. Oh, there is rest for the storm-tossed soul when we come to Christ, but we must come. We must come. That's the secret. Come. I don't know what is in your heart tonight. I don't know how many of you come with heavy hearts. I don't know if you're worrying about finances, trials, testing, sickness, a report from the doctor. I don't know what it will be. But I know when you come for rest of soul. But you have to come. Remember the story of the prodigal son, wasted his substance in riotous living? He said, how many of my father's hired servants have enough and to spare, and I perish here with hunger? He said, I know what I will do. I will arise and go. And so he came. He came to the Father. I don't know how many times I listened to that great invitation hymn, Just As I Am, without one plea, standing in a service somewhere listening to some preacher or an evangelist, and sometimes fighting back the tears, biting my cheek somehow so I wouldn't cry. I don't know how many times I heard it, but I didn't come. I didn't come until I was 12 years old. I was in Bushnell Memorial in Hartford, Connecticut, and Jack Wirtson was the preacher, and he gave an invitation. His invitations were long, very long. And I was standing, and then they sang, Just As I Am, without one plea. And I stood, and I tried biting my cheek, but that day it didn't work. And that day I came. I came. And I trusted Christ as my Savior and Lord of my life. And I've never doubted my salvation. Never doubted my salvation. I don't know your heart tonight. I know most of you. Some, a few of you, I don't know. And I don't know whether you know Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. But the answer is, you must come. Will you come? The hymn writer wrote, "Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Come now and he will give you rest. He will give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him." But don't be reluctant to come. We sing, "Sinner, won't you come today to Calvary?" Christian tonight, out of God's will, not walking according to his direction in your life, maybe doing things or neglecting things you ought to do, maybe saying things at times, an attitude to somebody else. Come, come for rest of soul. But if you're here tonight without the Savior, remember the words of Jesus, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out." Come for rest of soul, for rest of soul. One of my favorite authors is Max Lucado. He wrote a book, 6 Hours One Friday. Some of you have that book in your library. If you don't have it, try to find a copy. Beautiful words. And I close with these words from Max Lucado. He said, "When Jesus told this parable of the loving father, I wonder, did he use his hands? When he got to the point in the story, did he open his arms to illustrate the point? Did Jesus perceive the thoughts of those in the audience who were thinking, 'I could never go home, not after my life'? Did he see a housewife look at the ground and a businessman shake his head as if to say, 'I can't start over. I've made too big a mess'? And did he open his arms even wider as if to say, 'Yes, yes, you can. You can come home'?" Whether he did that day or not, I don't know. But I know that he did later. He later stretched his hands as open as he could. He forced his arms so wide apart that it hurt. And to prove that those arms would never fold and those hands would never close, he had them nailed open. And they are still open tonight for you and for me. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the invitation of our Savior. May our hearts be tender and receptive to that invitation tonight. We ask that tender hearts may tonight come to make a decision for whatever is necessary in their life tonight, to come for rest of soul, and leave this place of worship with joy in their heart and the peace that passes understanding. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.